Hey, gang, happy Memorial Day. I wanted you to hear the whole song today because it's a good patriotic song. I don't know what country it's patriotic for, but it's a good patriotic song. And this is Memorial Day in the U.S. And Mark Collett, I understand this is a bank holiday in Britain, too. What bank holiday is it?
It's just a bank holiday.
It's just a bank holiday.
We have bank holidays for Christmas and Boxing Day and big important days like that, but this one is just a bank holiday.
And for those of you who have seen Wallace and Gromit, A Grand Day Out, there was a bank holiday, and Wallace didn't know what to do. He wanted to go somewhere on his bank holiday. These bank holidays, it's so hard to decide. And, of course, he likes cheese, and he was looking through his the latest edition of Cheese Lovers magazine. And is Camembert? No, it's trying to think of a place to go. He looks up, and there's the moon. And everyone knows the moon's made of cheese. So the whole premise of that movie, which is my favorite movie, is that the moon is made of cheese, and that's a good place to go on a bank holiday. Well, part of the reason why it's my favorite movie? Mark, are you there?
And why is that?
It's not kosher. It is not a Hollywood movie. It is a movie with no paws in it. Well, it does have paws, but those are Gromit's paws. Gromit's a dog. He is Wallace's sidekick. But otherwise, no paws. It's a good movie. I think it was actually a university project. It's only 20 minutes long. Wallace and Gromit, Grand Day Out. I highly recommend it. I also highly recommend Dad's Root Beer. I don't always drink root beer, but when I do, I make it Dad's. Stay kosher, my friend. Or not, it's up to you if you have the Kosher-tified app. I got to get a plug-in for my sponsor. Well, Mark, you have some videos that are going viral. I want to start off talking about your viral videos. The one in particular, which was on the BBC multiculturalism, that's taken off. Does it have about 300,000 hits already?
Not quite 300,000. We have passed a quarter of a million, so I think we're up to about 257,000.
And now, of course, people are so busy looking at your royal wedding video. Now, we don't have to go much into the royal wedding because I think we beat it to death last week.
We certainly did, but that's been seen by 107,000 people in about 4 days. So it's been a good week for me, actually, on the old social networks. But the big news in the UK, which I'm going to be talking about in this week's podcast, that most people will be talking about, is that anti-Muslim activist Tommy Robinson has been sent to jail.
Yes, indeed. Now, I have seen just on Normie Facebook here.
On Normie Facebook.
Somebody I know from high school who's not at all political, but had a Facebook post about Tommy Robinson. And so there is growing awareness of this injustice. Tell us a little bit about Tommy Robinson for those of us who aren't familiar with Britain or Normie Facebook.
Well, Tommy Robinson is probably Britain and the world's most famous anti-Islam activist. Tommy Robinson essentially is a huge voice when it comes to exposing Islam, the Islamification of the West, and in particular, grooming gangs here in the UK. Now, he appeared outside court in Leeds, which is actually where I live, just a few days ago, and he was doing some court reporting, which involved him with his mobile phone and another person, essentially recording alleged Muslim paedophiles as they went into court. Now, they are still alleged, because although they've been charged, they still haven't been found guilty in court. Now, he has been arrested for standing outside court, and they have said he has breached the peace. They said that he's breached the peace, that he has essentially, potentially prejudiced the trial through his actions by creating this scene. And he's been locked up for 13 months for this because it was a violation of his parole. You see, he'd previously been arrested for doing similar things, and a judge had said, well, they're going to let you off. Essentially, we're going to let you off. Now, all of the papers are linked from a tweet that I sent out earlier today. So the judge had said to him that they would let him off the first time. So look, a little bit of naivety. I don't really agree with what you're doing, but on this occasion, we're letting you go. But if you were to do this again, if you are to do this again, if you are to go outside court again and create these scenes, you will be arrested and you will be imprisoned. Now, he went outside the court. He was exposing these people. However, they have already been arrested and charged. And he was producing a piece for his YouTube account. And he was arrested. He was basically sent to jail. He's now in Hull prison. And there's been a huge outcry all over the world, actually, calling for him to be freed. Now, I've got a few interesting takes on this, which some people are probably not going to like. And some people, hopefully the more thinking ones, will be saying, yeah, I actually, this is quite an interesting point. Well, firstly, he was told not to go out to any more courts, not to do this. And the reason being, well, their reasoning is that by standing outside court, by using terms such as Muslim grooming gangs, by calling them paedophiles, by essentially doing these things before they've actually been convicted, that could create sort of a bit of a circus. It could prejudice a trial because they haven't been found guilty yet. Now, this really interests me because I think this is quite hypocritical on the government side, because I was once in and out of Leeds Crown Court on a regular basis because I was charged with 8 counts of incitement to racial hatred. Now, I was found not guilty on all 8. Not guilty on all 8. And every day outside my trial, as long as, you know, there was plenty of my supporters there, plenty of people who were there supporting me, but there was a, you know, always a reasonable contingent of people from groups like Unite Against Fascism, the Anti-Nazi League, and other left-wing groups chanting, protesting, you know, saying, send these Nazis to jail, send these Nazis to jail. And none of them were arrested. None of them were arrested. None of them were moved on. They were allowed to protest every day outside the courtroom and create a scene. So I find it rather hypocritical that Tommy Robinson, although he was told not to do it, I find it very hypocritical that he was told not to do it or arrested for doing it when the other side are allowed to do this so regularly and there are never any restrictions on any left-wing groups or anti-fascist activists, as they like to call themselves, protesting outside court. Now, when I was walking in and out of court, what if a juror had seen those? What if a juror had seen people saying, Mark Collett is a Nazi, he must be sent to jail? Could that have prejudiced my trial? Could that potentially have seen a juror thinking, you know what, this is, you know, these guys are making a point, I've got to send him down, he's a Nazi. Well, no one asked that question. And the police certainly didn't move them on. And there certainly wasn't any restrictions placed upon these groups. So I genuinely see a huge problem with this, because you've got a guy who, you know, is essentially exercising his free speech. He wasn't in the court itself. He was outside the court on the steps, on public property, essentially. He wasn't in the actual court. He didn't go into any of the courtrooms. He didn't seek out any of the jurors. But he has been sent to prison. But when others do this, there are absolutely no restrictions placed on them whatsoever. And this has got to be mirrored in everything that the left does. You know, if we were to go and stand outside someone's workplace and call for them to be sacked, which is something our side never does, no doubt we would be arrested. But when they do it to people on our side, no arrests are made. And more often than not, the person they're calling for to be sacked is actually sacked. And I think this whole event has really, really shone a light on the hypocrisy here in the UK and the way these laws are selectively applied to affect nationalists or patriots or anti-Islamic activists or people who are essentially against mass immigration and the continued Islamification of Europe?
Well, I have a question. So who's calling the shots here? I mean, is it London Yard? Is it Theresa May? Because when you think of these types of things happening here, you know, take Charlottesville, for instance. It wasn't, I mean, the injustice in Charlottesville wasn't coming from Donald Trump. It wasn't coming from the top. You had, it was a, I guess, a city court. Charlottesville is his own little city, and it was his own little district court. You can think of other examples where you have activist judges taking actions. You've got bureaucrats like or political appointees who don't represent the administration or any elected officials, who just kind of hijack things, like Rod Rosenstein or Sally Yates before him. So is this coming? Is this coming from the top? Is it Theresa May calling the shots, or something that she would call but she doesn't need to because she's got her underlings are in line with her? Is this from the judges? Where does this come from?
I think this comes from the whole establishment. And that might sound like a cop-out answer saying it's them all, but it is them all. You know, here you have the judiciary, you have a reporting restriction placed on this so the press can't report it, and none of the press are going to break that. None of the press are going to say, hey, what about our freedoms? What about the freedom of the press? What about free speech? The press don't care about free speech.
So the press are restricted from reporting on Tommy Robinson.
The press have a full reporting restriction, so it cannot be reported in the mainstream press.
Tommy Robinson was arrested, and they can't report that.
They cannot report that. Reporting restrictions have been placed on it. But it's all over social networks.
Okay, it's over social networks, and there's not going to be a problem for you to do a video on it.
I'm going to do a video. I'm doing the video, Patrick. Let's just say I've got to do the video, but I'm going to do it from a very unique perspective, actually, here, Patrick, because I'm seeing a lot of people now, and this is what really gets to me. This is what's really starting to make me kind of angry. Well, not kind of angry, but actually very angry. And that's that here we've got this massive double standard, not just a double standard in the way the system treats people, but a double standard from these so-called free speech activists. Now, these so-called free speech activists that are all shouting, free Tommy, free Tommy, these people are the most two-faced and opportunistic people imaginable. Now, I sent this tweet out yesterday. I said, and it's with a picture. There's a picture attached. I said, all those who are now running around shouting, free Tommy, but said nothing when 89-year-old Ursula Haverbeck was sent to prison for speech crimes, need to take a long, hard look at themselves. Now, these so-called free speech activists that are saying free Tommy are not saying anything about an 89-year-old German woman who had been dragged to jail and thrown into jail for questioning the Holocaust. Now, there's all these people who don't want to talk about that. There was another woman in the UK last week, Alison Shablow, and she wrote a few songs mocking the narrative of the Holocaust, poking fun at the narrative of the Holocaust. And she has just been found guilty of what appears to be a new crime that I've never heard of before, where the judge said she was criminally offensive. Mm. Now, no one's saying, we've got to get behind Alison. We've got to get behind Ursula. Now, these two women are going to be jailed for speech crimes. Well, one has been jailed, and one looks like she's going to be jailed for speech crimes. Now, these women are being jailed, but where are all these guys? Where are all these big men who are like, free Tommy, with a can of lager in their hand? Well, I look at this kind of thing, and it really does sort of get to me, because I'm looking at these people, And I'm seeing this hypocrisy. Now, all these people are doing these videos. You know, you've got these YouTubers, these female YouTubers. Donate, donate, donate. And they're all making videos of themselves. And they're all sat on their beds. And they look teary-eyed. Oh, our Tommy's gone to jail. But they're not saying anything about Ursula Haverbeck. They're not saying anything about Alison Chablow. And it's kind of strange, isn't it, that we've got this battle for free speech. But the people who are sort of most prevalent in this battle, who are the biggest mouths in this battle for free speech, don't seem to really want free speech. They want free speech for them and their friends, and they want it when it's prudent for them. They want it when it's, you know, something that they can monetize, when it's something they can get a few shekels out of, when they can sit on their bed with tears in their eyes because their good friend Tommy, he's in big trouble. But when they can't make some money about it, or when, God forbid, anything to do with the Holocaust is mentioned, all these free speech activists disappear back into the woodwork. They scuttle away. And I kind of look at this and I think to myself, how disingenuous, how utterly spineless and gutless that these people who are coming out of the woodwork because we can make a few quid because it's Tommy, but they don't dare say anything about these other cases. So it's not about free speech. And then I start to look at it and think, how many people are being led round this merry dance? How many people are looking at this and saying to themselves, oh, you know, Tommy Robinson, it's the greatest violation of free speech that we've ever seen. When in fact, we've actually got much worse. Because what's happened to Tommy's bad, but jailing an 89-year-old woman. Now, he was told, he was warned, and he decided to discard that warning. He decided to go against that warning. And he was even joking that day. And he's said online before, I'll be going to prison again soon. He's been joking that he's courting this, you know. Now, again, I still don't think it was right he was sent to prison. I don't want anyone to misquote me. But Ursula Haverbeck, she wasn't outside a court. She wasn't going where she wasn't told. She was literally just speaking. Alison Chablow was literally just singing songs and uploading them to YouTube. So in a very real way, those two cases could be seen as worse. And I personally think that we need a huge movement for free speech, but that has to include people who go beyond simply the issue of mass immigration and Islam. It has to cover people who will also talk about things such as Zionist influence and the disproportionate Jewish control of the media.
Well, let's talk about that when we come back from the break.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce. Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Radio on this fine Memorial Day, and on the other side of the pond, we are joined by Mark Collette, who is taking time off from his bank holiday to do non-banking stuff. I don't know. But thank you for coming in.
I've been hiking as well, and it was a really good day for hiking. Well, it was yesterday actually I went hiking, but it was so hot, and it's not often that hot here in the UK, but I went up to Malham, which is a beautiful place. It's one of those scars. The land is all scarred, and it's got limestone paving from when the ice sheets were retreating back. And it's left this amazing scenery. And we walked up from a car park at the bottom of Malham, where there's these lovely pubs and sort of little local community, absolutely fabulous. And we walked up from there up to Malham Cove, then right up to the tarn at the top. Takes about 2 hours to get up there, and then all the way back down via the waterfalls. Absolutely spectacular day. Really great way to spend your bank holiday. But I have managed to get a little bit of sunburn along the way, but it was well worth it. So I have been using my bank holiday for plenty of time in the countryside, which I think is a really good way to recharge. This is another tip for your listeners. If you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling like everything's getting on top of you, and it can do that in the cause and the movement we're in, things can sort of take a bit of a toll after a while. But if you're feeling that way, one of the best ways to combat that is with a bit of walking in the countryside. It definitely gets my seal of approval.
Yeah, Mr. T drags me out into the woods and hills and valleys all the time. So we know all about it. Okay, so I have to say I'm really, really heartened to see that your videos are catching on, because we've got you've got a lot of movement going on. You've got a lot of movement going on in the media, with social media, with independent people coming up and starting to grab people's attention. There's a limited amount of media consumers, and they've been flooding away from the establishment newspapers and TV stations, especially younger people. And a lot of it is getting picked up by individual media entrepreneurs, so to speak. But you know, they're not all created the same. And there have been some who have, you get somebody like Alex Jones, and sometimes you're not sure whether to think of Alex Jones as a stepping stone in the right direction or as a distraction that is, leading people really away from the central issues and making a lot of money while he's at it.
I think Alex Jones, for me, Alex Jones is an interesting one because he is a gateway to us. It's very strange, and this is kind of like almost like a double-edged sword, really, with a lot of these people. In some ways, they're a gateway to us, but then they're also a blockade to us, if you know what I mean. So they wake people up and they get people thinking. But as soon as those people get thinking and start saying, well, who's actually behind all this? Then they sort of put the brakes on and they're like, oh, no, no, no one, just the establishment, just politicians, just the Illuminati. And they're always pushing people away from the real answers when they get that far. But I think with Alex Jones, and we discussed this last week, I think he was starting to lose credibility with his own supporters for not discussing things that are so obvious. And when there is an increasing number of people talking about the disproportionate role and influence of Jews in the West, I think people like Alex Jones have started to lose credibility amongst their own support base for refusing to acknowledge that. And if you're going to dodge that issue and you're going to be one of these people, and they call themselves truthers, don't they, in the truther movement. If you're going to be one of these people in the truther movement, you've really got to at least acknowledge some of the things we're saying. Because if you're not going to at least acknowledge some of the things we're saying, you don't really belong in that movement, do you?
Well, it's a misnamed movement. It can be the distraction movement. So it's not just what you say. Another dimension to this is where you say it. And so you could look like Tucker Carlson, who we talk about a lot. And Tucker Carlson occasionally kind of dog whistles around Jewish power, not very close to it. He gets at a lot of things, but the thing about Tucker Carlson is he is saying it from an establishment media perch, and people who rely on the establishment media, well, I mean, what he has to say to them is definitely pulling them in the right direction. Now, sometimes he says things that I'm kind of uncomfortable with. He will talk about China as being a big enemy. Of course, when he's saying China's an enemy, it's like, why are you so fixated on Russia? He's trying to move people away from anti-Russian, you know, looking at Russia as an enemy. Now, I heard an alt-right podcast, the recent one, I'm not going to mention it, the name of it, but they were talking about China. Now, this is a podcast that typically would talk about Jewish power, and here they were fixating on China. And if you're going to start... So it's one thing to say, well, Russia's not the real enemy, it's China is. But if you start talking about China to an audience that's already woken up on Jewish power, that's a different story. Okay, we are going off to our next break. We'll be back with more from Mark Collette on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you.
Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio. But Mark, I think we're making a lot of progress, and I was very heartened by seeing your recent numbers and the expansion of the numbers of your YouTube subscribers. It's, you know, there are people who dog whistle. There are people who distract. There are people who go full out, but don't have a narrative or a style that is going to really reach a lot of people, because maybe they go overboard. And you know, probably all of these elements are necessary. But, you know, in the end, you've got to have if you don't have people who speak thoughtfully and go at the core issues, you can't expect to ever win. And I think we're starting to get, you know, a good number of people who are coming out and speaking forcefully and thoughtfully. And that's when we should start winning. I don't know. Am I overly optimistic or what?
I don't know. I mean, there's always got to be some kind of optimism. There's got to be some kind of hope. And I hear some people saying, oh, well, what if you never win? What if you never win? You know, won't it all be a waste of time? And it's like, well, you know, when people were on the Titanic and it was going down, you know, did people say, well, what if the water's too cold? What if there's not enough room in the boats? And they just sat there not doing anything as the boat went down. Well, of course you don't. It's a fight for survival. So regardless of whether you think the odds of surviving are good or not, the fact is you have to try to survive. You can't just sit on your hands or sit on the deck with your feet upon a deck chair bemoaning the fact that you're probably not going to survive, so you just might as well sit there and, you know, enjoy the last moments before it goes into the water. You have to do something. You have to try. You have to prepare yourself the best you can. Even if it seems almost futile, you go for it, because there's always a chance. There's always that tiny ray of hope. And I say that to everyone, that in a way, if we don't win, at least we tried. But we know we're never going to win if we don't try. If we don't try, it's 100% we will not win. But if we do try, there's a chance we're going to win. And you know what? The more effort we put in and the harder we try and the more forceful we are and the more people we go out there and speak to and the greater our influence grows, you know what? The more chance that we will win. And that's how it works. So people who are defeatists, people who are like, you know what? We haven't got a chance. You know what? There isn't enough people talking about this. You know what? I'm going to sit on my hands. I'm going to just enjoy the degeneracy and live out the rest of my life. Those people are the ones that are preventing us from winning. It's people like us. We're plugging away. Now, when I first started doing my podcast, I think my first ever podcast, it was on UKIP. And I remember doing it and uploading it and being, you know, a little bit excited, being, oh, I'll see how this one goes. And it got a few hundred views. And within about a month, I had one that sort of caught a little bit of attention and it got a few thousand views. I think it went up over 3,000. I was like, wow, I've got a video with 3,000 views. And now I'm up there with videos with over 250,000 views. And the thing is, the motto of this story, I'm not saying that I'm brilliant and that everyone should go to my channel or that I'm anything special. What I'm saying here is that I didn't give up. I didn't decide one day, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm giving up. Oh, my latest video hasn't had 10,000 views, so that's it. I'm packing it in. I never did that. I just kept plugging away and plugging away. And one day you hope for that video that's going to grow viral. You're hoping for that video that's going to get hundreds of thousands of views and people are going to be chatting about it and, you know, sharing it on all the social networks. And if you keep plugging away, you know what? It's more likely to happen. And I had a video, 5 Reasons Why Theresa May is Totally Useless, been seen just 10,000 times until a week or so ago. It's now been seen nearly 29,000 times. Because as people are coming to my channel, they're watching older videos. The one on Assad's been seen 1,000 times this weekend. You know, and that's an older video. But if you keep plugging away, if you keep doing the right thing, you've got a greater chance of actually having some success. And that's what we're all pushing for. And what I'm really saying to people is, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying success is guaranteed. But what I am saying is, we have to keep our noses to the grindstone. We have to keep pushing on. And we have to keep creating content and we keep trying to red pill people no matter what. Because if we don't, we're definitely going to lose. Now, here's some statistics. You know, my first ever YouTube video was published on the 25th of October, 2016. It was only seen by 1,372 people. And my last YouTube video, which was published on the 24th of May this year, has been seen by 107,387 people. And that just goes to show that if you're consistent, if you keep doing it, if you keep your head up, don't get disheartened, you can actually do something. You can actually, you know, break through. And once you start reaching those kind of numbers, you're not just reaching our people. You're not just in the echo chamber. You're starting to reach the public. You're starting to reach people who are curious, who are, well, I've heard a bit about this alt-right. I wasn't really happy with the royal wedding, but does anyone else feel this way? I thought it was a bit trashy. I didn't like the way they got rid of all the tradition. It's like they're trying to multiculturalize us. And then these people see you and they're like, wow, there's other people that feel my way. And there are the first steps to building a community, to building a group of people who all agree. But if we all just back out, if we all just say, you know what, I'm not doing this, I can't be bothered, then there's no chance. And that's why we've got to keep doing it. And we have to stay positive. And like I said with Alex Jones, you know, in some ways he's been a blockade to people reaching us. But in some ways he's been a great gateway. And we have to take the positives from these situations. It's like with the Tommy Robinson situation. As I said, I don't think it's particularly fair he's in jail. He was warned, but I've seen other people walk away from outside courthouses after doing much worse and the police haven't as much batted an eyelid at them. So it's not particularly fair what's happening to him. But let's face it, there's an uproar on social media. And the more of these uproars we create, the more we mobilize people, the more we get people fired up, the more chance we have of winning. And I can tell you now, some of these social media uproars have broken into activity. We've had protests in Australia, protests on, you know, mainland Europe. We've had protests here in the UK about his arrest. And we are starting to see something coming together as a bit of a movement. We're starting to see people actually coming out on the street because they're sick of things. Now, it's our job. And when I say as, I'm talking about you, I, and the people who are pushing a more intellectual message to somehow get out there and influence these people. Because when they wake up to some of the smaller problems, like free speech issues, some of the smaller problems like immigration, we have to be the ones that red pill them on the big issues, like the role of Zionists in our media, like the problem of white genocide, because ultimately the be all and end all of what we're doing is to prevent white genocide. Well, and we need, you know, I would say to anyone listening,
white genocide means more. It has a lot. I'll let you finish, but it's more than just, oh, this one group of people, whites, the interests of this one group of people, because white genocide would mean the end of Western civilization. It could mean the end of, you know, really any civilization on Earth. But finish your thought, and then I'm going to jump into mine.
No, I was just about to say, as a final thought, anyone that's going out to these protests, anyone who's you know, turning up to these things, we should be going to these things, and we should be holding up banners that say things like, it's okay to be white. White lives matter. We should be going to these protests and slowly pulling them in our direction, weeding out the cleverest and the best and the brightest. We should be weeding out the people who are thinking to themselves, I've had enough. And you know what? I think there's more to all this. I think there's a little bit more to everything that we're being told here. And we should be looking for those people, because it's our job to educate them and help them to complete their political journey.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're living in really, truly momentous times, a really potentially the massive turning point in human history. And, you know, maybe if you look back 20, 40, 60, 100, 200 years ago, maybe people could make the same assertion at any time in history. But I think of when I was a young man, when I was just coming of age, there was, like, the biggest threat to the world seemed to be a nuclear war between the United States and the Soviet Union. And relations were bad, but of course, there was a threat because the technology had appeared, and both sides had the technology. But the United States was basically a sustainable country. People had a future. And the Soviet Union, even in the 1970s or 1980s, seemed to have a future. And nobody was really going to trade off a future over, you know, a misunderstanding or, you know, just my thingy is bigger than your thingy, which is apparently, using more crude words, what President Gorbachev once asked a visiting scholar when asked about, when the scholar asked him what he thought was the crux of the Russian missile crisis. He said it was Kennedy and Khrushchev seeing who had the bigger thingy. But nowadays, okay, you still have all of that technology that still could be used, but you've got countries that don't necessarily have a future. You know, the United States right now, we're in this struggle over whether or not we're going to remain something akin to what we've been, or we're going to be something completely different, completely reject our past and reject our founding population and become something new and gay and multicultural and truly bizarre. And of course, in where you are, are you going to continue to be a you know, a European country, or are you going to be a Negrified Islamic country? That's what Europe is facing. Real turning points in history, and you know, with every day, every year goes by, you can look at census data or data from, you know, various demographic data, and you see that demographically the momentum's all going in the wrong direction. But you can look around and see that resistance to this, opposition to this, is becoming more and more widespread and more focused and, you know, making sense. And so the question winds up becoming, is the awakening going to be quick enough? Is it quick enough? And what's your sense of how things are going now? Does it look like it's quick enough?
I think it's a very interesting question, but it's almost like the two are sort of hand in hand. The worse things get, the more people wake up. That's obvious. You know, the greater the threat, the closer the impending doom.
And
the
to more inject people... one extra thought, I thought that 2016 election in the United States had a lot to do with the Zionists running a premature victory lap. And that's waking up people.
Yeah, I think I do think that you know, the more people are, how can I say, the closer we are to the impending doom, the more people wake up. But then you've always got that incredible playoff, haven't you? You've got that incredible playoff.
And do you think people like there. Theresa May and those of her ilk have, on their side, a sense of alarm and therefore are going to be overreacting to things?
Well, the more people that wake up, the harder. You see, when we were a very, very small group and when we were just shouting from the sidelines and we were insignificant, they didn't really fear us. But the bigger we get and the greater the threat we pose to their establishment, you will see their resistance against us rise. You will see new laws being passed. You will see people being taken to prison. You will see an increasing number of arrests because they will get desperate. Because there's this tipping point, isn't there? Obviously, the worse it gets, the more people wake up. But if it gets too bad, too quickly, and not enough people wake up, unfortunately, we're finished. If it gets worse and enough people wake up, then they manage to stop it, then the problems can be turned back and we can restore Europe and other white nations to what they should be. And there's that constant battle. Is it going to get too bad too quickly and we won't be able to stop the tide? Or will the tide start coming in just enough to get everyone's toes wet so we know we can do something about it before we're completely swamped? And obviously, the establishment, the government, the media, the judiciary, they are really banking on the tide coming in too quickly so no defences can be erected, so we can't get out of harm's way, so we can't turn it back. And they'll do anything they can to prevent people from warning the masses. And as more and more people wake up, they will act in a more desperate manner to stop our people. They will act in a more desperate manner to silence us because they are desperate to see the multicultural society reach its zenith, to reach its goal, which is, of course, a society where white people are completely at the wrong end of the wedge, where white people are dispossessed, disenfranchised, ultimately where we're second-class citizens, so that we can effectively be bred out and we can't form a resistance. So it's going to be very, very interesting. We're going to have very, very interesting times coming up. And Tommy Robinson isn't going to be the first. Well, he's not been the first. And he certainly won't be the last. We will see more of this, but we have to take this as a positive because it shows we're getting somewhere. It shows that we're riling these people.
Okay. Well, we are coming up on our last break, but we've got more to talk about after the break.
We'll be right back. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back. You know, I mentioned this alt-right podcast earlier in the program, and the thing is, even though they were looking at China as a threat, their prescription wasn't, okay, we've got to arm ourselves and we've got to take them on and take them on in the South China Sea and take them on in the Straits of Taiwan and stop their influence here and stop their influence there. Their conclusion was, well, you know, the South China Sea and the Straits of Taiwan, these really aren't our business anyway. We should just retreat from East Asia and see, you know, China has been the hegemon in East Asia for millennia, and they ought to continue to be, and we're going to try to be the hegemon in our part of the world, and the Europeans can be in their part of the world. It was, and I'm not saying that's what I endorse, but it wasn't at the end of the day, even though they were building up China as a threat, it really wasn't belligerent. And this is in stark contrast to what comes out of the Zionized American foreign policy establishment when they write about China. And if these people ever succeed in with their multicultural project of transforming the Western countries into multicultural countries that they can completely dominate and in the process gain control over all of the economic and material and military assets that we've built up over the many centuries, it's going to be a very, very scary day for China. So if I was Chinese, I'm going to say this again, if I was Chinese, I would be rooting for white nationalism. What do you think?
I think it's a very interesting situation with China. I don't think China poses a huge threat to the West if the West remains European and strong. But if the West is broken down, if the West embraces mass immigration, if the West is flooded with immigrants, and eventually becomes like a third world country or a collection of third world countries, I personally think then China may threaten the West because it would be ripe for the taking.
But under the European West would be under the control of very, very warlike people who would be willing to utilize those weapons, don't you think?
No, I'm just saying if the West becomes like a third world country,
right,
it'd be just like one giant Detroit, won't it?
Very dangerous, you're right. You know, it would be
one giant Detroit that essentially would be ripe for the taking. Except with
massive nuclear arms.
But I don't think those nuclear arms would be any use. I think the nuclear arms would fall into disrepair, just like they did in South Africa. South Africa once had a fine army. I don't think South Africa could defend itself now against a moderate force. I think South Africa would be overrun now. I think you could probably put together a mercenary army, you know, a private army. Someone like Blackwater could probably take South Africa down if they wanted to now. And I think when you see countries that were once ruled by Europeans and they lose the rule, they lose the power, and other people take control, we'll just call them other people, those countries fall into disrepair. Zimbabwe, South Africa.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about falling into disrepair.
Nuclear weapons wouldn't even be looked after properly.
Well, the one caveat I'll put on is in the Samson option could be applied to the United States. And the crazy people who run Israel and thought of, you know, they're going to lash out at the rest of the world if their regime is threatened, if they're running the United States, the Samson option could apply to the United States. So it would be a doomsday scenario. It's not a good scenario, no matter how it plays out. It's not a good scenario. Hey, Mark, thank you so much for coming on. And check out Mark's YouTube channel. It's really, really coming alive.
And I'll see you on Wednesday. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
Indian descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.